There's a company called Applied Digital Solutions out of Florida that manufactures a product they call the VeraChip. They have a payment version of the VeraChip called the VeraPay. Those are their devices. And they drive around in this little thing they call the Chipmobile, and they actually have this little mobile implantation service where they will come and literally inject one of these RFID tags into your flesh, actually embedded inside of you.
Where do they put it, in your arm or what?
Well, typically they're putting it in the upper arm between the elbow and the shoulder, and about a year ago there was a family which was referred to as the Chipsons, who did this on national TV on a morning program.
And yes, I remember
embedded
that.
With this. Yeah, that's the same technology. The latest version of it, and we can talk a little bit about who's doing it and why, but the latest version of it would actually be embedded into the hand. And the reason it would go into the hand is, for example, to prevent a gun from firing unless you had this chip in your hand. And that's one of the applications that Applied Digital Solutions is trying to sell law enforcement officers on, that they would take a chip in their hand, and unless the gun detected the presence of that chip within an inch or so of the handle, the gun itself would simply not fire.
So in case somebody grabbed an officer's pistol, he couldn't use it against him.
That's the idea. That's the idea.
Well, see, now on the face of it, Catherine, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, and you know, that's the funny thing, George. I would be the first to acknowledge that there's all sorts of potential benefits down the road with RFID. I mean, some of the ones that have been touted is, you know, you'll know when things expire in your refrigerator because your refrigerator will be hooked up to the internet and people will be monitoring that information, you know, that kind of thing. Well, the thing I have to say is, at what cost? And that's really the bigger question with this technology.
And who abuses it?
Well, who abuses it? And ultimately, even if it's not abused, you know, in the next couple of years, which I believe it will be because I've seen the blueprints and the plans for it, but let's say even if somehow we can create enough controls around it to prevent it from being abused for the short term, we all know just from looking at 20th century history that the power ultimately will fall into the wrong hands, you know, at one point in history or another. I mean, we've seen, you know, millions of people murdered in the 20th century by governments run amok. And if you have this technology out there, in exchange for the benefit of, say, saving some money in the supply side, maybe saving 2 cents off your package of rice because it got more efficiently into the store, maybe the fact that now you don't have to smell the milk before you know to throw it away. You can you can have a little alert on your computer telling you. You know, those are the upsides.
Don't drink this milk.
Yeah, but, you know, the downsides are so, so incredible. The idea of a technology like this that would enable everything and everyone to be monitored all the time, to fall into the hands of someone like Hitler or Stalin or Pol Pot from Cambodia,
mm-hmm.
you know, who murdered millions of their own citizens.
Saddam Hussein would have had a field day with
Absolutely.
This stuff.
Absolutely. Any dictator, any power, anyone who wants to stay in power would have the ability to essentially quell all dissent. And in fact, you would have the ability to make sure that your enemies not only couldn't fight you, but actually couldn't eat or couldn't wear clothing or couldn't survive, couldn't buy.
Is this something, Catherine, that the globalists would support? Maybe they do.
Well, I'm not sure quite what you mean by that, but I will say that I think that there are definitely people who are interested in amassing power. Whether that is, you know, power, economic power, whether that is just personal power, or whether it's the power to spy on and simply have knowledge about what everybody else is up to. And those people are rubbing their hands together and salivating over the possibilities here. Absolutely. One application for RFID that I think is especially chilling is the European Central Bank has been working with Hitachi on the possibility of putting these RFID tags into cash. Now, if you think you're under surveillance now, you at least have the option of paying cash if you don't want to be, you know, tracked from your every move and your every purchase watched. And in fact, I make all of my purchases in cash for that very reason. I know too much. I know too much of what happens to that data. Now, if you put this into cash, it means you have the possibility of eliminating anonymous cash. Now, imagine this. You go to the ATM or to the bank and you get $5 $20 bills. You take out $100.
All right.
Let's say each of those $20 bills has an RFID tag in it with a unique ID number, and that's the key thing, and we need to talk about that before we finish today. The unique number means that no other item on the planet matches that item. So what it means is if you can identify that item, you know who it belongs to, who bought it, where it was last seen. You can know all sorts of things about it. So now let's say each of those $20 bills has a unique ID number that nothing else on the planet shares. When they come out of the ATM machine, a little note is made in a database somewhere at your bank and probably at the Department of Homeland Security and the federal government. A little note is made that $20 bill number 308247 was taken out of a bank by George Norrie. Now, the next place that bank note appears, they're going to know you're the person who spent it. If you go into Walmart and you use it to buy ammunition, or you use it to buy a pair of shoes, or you use it to buy, who knows what you buy in there.
Right.
But that $20 bill would then be linked to you. And conversely, if let's say you give it to a homeless person, it's Christmas, you're feeling generous, you hand it out, and that $20 bill later shows up, in a drug bust. The DEA agents, of course, would be scanning that money, and you would get a knock on your door. How did your $20 bill wind up in those hands?
I'd be the last person who legally had it.
That's right. And that's why they want to make cash trackable, because it would eliminate the drug trade. It would eliminate the black market. It would eliminate people paying cash under the table. Someone mows your lawn, you give them $20. Well, that may be a risky thing to do. Maybe you should report that $20 income and file it with the IRS.
It sounds like, then, that the push to get this in products might really be a veil to really want to use it for these other purposes.
Well, what's going to happen is putting it in products is going to create what's called economy of scale. It's going to make it less expensive. It's going to create, already factories are going up all around the world to produce these chips, to manufacture them cheaply, to make these tags. The infrastructure, the readers are getting smaller. I just read that there's a reader device out now that's smaller than a dime. That's actually the thing that can read these little tags.
Oh,
so, all of this is going to get cheaper, smarter, faster, better, more efficient. And it's being driven by the Walmarts and the Philip Morrises and the Gillettes. But ultimately, it's going to be adopted by the governments of the world who want to use this to keep control of the citizenry and to watch people. It's going to be used by marketers. It's going to be used by criminals. It's going to be used by stalkers. It's going to be used by really anyone who could benefit from knowing what's in your pocket when you walk through a doorway.